Thank you, Daryl, for leading that song. It ties in to our lesson that we're going to look at today. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 26th chapter. We're going to be looking at the Garden of Gethsemane and kind of looking at kind of the issue, who was there? Who was at the garden? Who was there in the garden that night that Jesus was betrayed, that he would spend a good portion of that evening in prayer in the garden? We're going to look at that. I'd like to read, starting in verse 36 of the 26th chapter. The setting is Jesus has just finished what we refer to as the Last Supper. And he had been with his disciples, and in just a short time, he's going to be arrested. He's going to go through, I will loosely use the word trial. It was more of a kangaroo court than anything else. And then he would be crucified within just hours from this. Starting in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, he who betrays me is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." Then immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I can now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It's a mouthful there. I want us to look back at this account of Jesus in the garden and look at the individuals and the groups that were there with him. One, Jesus was there. In fact, he is the center focus of this passage. One of the things that we can gather from Jesus in the garden was even facing death, he knew what was at hand. He knew what was coming just a short time down the road. He spent his time in prayer. I try to take this to heart. The trivial things that I stress over, fret and moan my fate about, pale in comparison to what Jesus was facing. And I think, what did he do? And at a time where he's facing so much, he prayed. That's how he spent the last moments that he was going to be able to spend in prayer. And I think I've mentioned this before, knowing myself, you know, I'd be trying to figure a way out of Jerusalem. I'd be figuring out, how can I get me some weapons? You know, how can I evade the crowd? But we don't see that. Jesus spends his time in prayer. It says, then he came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." I'm not trying to figure a way out of Jerusalem. I'm not trying to set you guys in a way where you can defend me. I'm going to go pray. He had anxiety and sorrow. I understand it. I can't quite explain it. Can't put it into words, how Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. I can't. There's nothing for us to compare it to. He was the only unique creature that ever existed like that. The God part of him was in total control of himself, but the 100% man part of him had anxiety, had sorrow, a little fear, not looking forward to what was getting ready to happen. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which was James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He wanted God's will to be done. At a time that he was so filled with these emotions, he wanted God's will to be done more than anything else. More than his safety, more than anything, he wanted God's will. Verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." What a great example of a prayer for us. What a great example for us to pattern our prayers. There is nothing wrong with delivering our desires and our wishes and our thoughts and ideas to God. But above all, we want your will to be done. Jesus expressed himself, if there is a way different that maybe I'm not thinking of, if there's a way out of this, but more than anything, your will, I yield myself to you. He was faithful in spite of. In spite of, not I will be faithful to you if I get my way. Not I will be faithful to you if you answer my prayer. He made his prayer such, I will be faithful to you regardless. This is my will, but more than anything, I want your will to be done. He was humble and he had focus. To be focused at a time of such anxiety and at a time where other people, we couldn't point a finger at people to fall apart at a time like this. A time of such calamity. There's no way we could blame somebody for maybe letting their emotions get to them. But we see Jesus was humbled and he had focus at a time like this. He says, do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father? He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled? He wanted the scriptures to be carried out. Scriptures that he is known for eternity. He left his Father's side to let it be carried out. The disciples. Let's look at it. They were there. They would get to witness just like they did so many other events that Jesus went through. Whether it be healing somebody, whether it be conducting a miracle, whether it was walking on the water. They got to be there to witness this. And how many times would they maybe draw upon this in the rest of their lives to learn, to gain strength from? It says he came to this to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. They get to watch, how does Jesus deal with situations? How does he deal with people that want to kill him? How does he deal with a situation of extreme stress? And I think it does, but hopefully this event will make them stronger in the long run. Then there was Peter, James, and John. Jesus loved everybody. But then there was the disciples that he spent time with and taught, answered their questions, had patience with them. When something would go over their head, and he would explain something to them in a great lesson, and then they'd ask some knuckleheaded question, and he just realized they don't get it. They don't get it. He had patience with them in love. But out of those 12, there were Peter, James, and John, who were a little bit special. For the life of me, I don't know if he took Peter, James, and John with him so many different places because he was so close to them, or maybe he realized maybe they need a little extra. I don't know. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He wanted them there with him. He needed them there. And they fell asleep. Jesus needs them. They fell asleep. Jesus comes back from praying and he says, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you even make it an hour? I know you're tired. It's the middle of the night. I'm tired too. They came and found them a second time, for their eyes were heavy. And then a third time, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. We're this far away, and you're taking a snooze. They learned that lesson about the flesh being weak. A lesson that every one of us can apply. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to to have been with Jesus at the garden to learn this lesson. Jesus told them, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Not too far from here, Peter will wind up denying that he even knew Jesus. 3 different times. Peter had an opportunity right here to be praying and gaining strength out of this situation. He's snoozing. And then verse 56, it says, all the disciples forsook him and fled. The flesh is weak. I don't think there's one of us here. I would be safe to say that there's not one of us here today that would willingly plan to do something against God's word. Hopefully not. Hopefully we wouldn't. We have every intention to follow and be good servants. But like Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Our heart's there, but the flesh is weak. And then there was Judas. Judas was there. Earlier in the chapter, we didn't read this, but back in chapter 14, we see Judas putting into practice and plan the things that are going to be taking place. Starting in verse 14, it says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Wow. He goes to them. He doesn't yield in a moment of weakness, you know, that somebody's offering something to anybody. He goes to them. That's hard-hearted. That's pretty cold. And what's he do it for? 30 pieces of silver. Something that will be here today and gone tomorrow. Does it for money. Jesus told him, when they were together eating the meal, he told him, just like he told Peter, James, and John, sit here, pray that you don't fall into temptation. He tells Judas what's going to happen. Verse 23, he answered and said, He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He'd been planning it. It's not me, is it? He said to him, you have said it. And then there's the betrayal. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. This is, in a lot of ways, it's a sad passage to me. In some ways, it's just, but in some ways it's sad, because Judas had a lot to offer. Just like Peter did. Just like John did. Just like Paul would. After ravaging the church, throwing Christians in prison, Paul repented, changed his life, had to work hard to overcome that image, but was a great influence for the church. Same with Peter. Judas could have done the same thing, but he didn't. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. At least I'm glad he was remorseful. And brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. At least Judas saw the error of his ways. At least he tried to rectify the situation. He didn't just keep it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Is what Judas did, I mean, we as people, a lot of times we get in that game of wanting to categorize sin. We want to rank sin, what's worse than others. Was what Judas did any worse than what Peter would do just a short time later, denying that he even knows Jesus? Will it be any worse than what Paul would later on do? Going after Christians, putting them in prison, holding people's coats while they stone Stephen, killing him, being in concert with that. Sin is sin. Judas had a lot to offer. He had spent 3 years with Jesus, just like Peter. He could have turned his life around. He would have had a lot of crow to eat and choke down. But he could have gone on and been a great influence, possibly, like Peter was. Peter had to overcome. Oh, you're the guy that denied even. You want me to become a Christian? Aren't you the guy that denied knowing Jesus? That's a lot to swallow. But Peter did. Judas couldn't face that, and he wound up hanging himself. Then there was the mob. They're doing the dirty work. They're the little minions, the gutless minions that will do the dirty work for the people, for the fat cats at the top. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, They came out with swords and clubs. And in this crowd, one of the disciples pulled out a sword and whacks off the ear. Now, we know from the account in John, it was Peter. Peter pulls out a sword and he's defending Jesus. Whacks off the ear of the high priest Malchus, or the high priest servant Malchus, gets his ear cut off. They get to witness this. And then they will witness, many of them, the crucifixion. And many of them will probably witness the resurrection. A couple of things as we're closing up. We weren't there, but we can pray to God and thank Him that He has preserved His Word all these years, for 2,000 years, that we can read His words as fresh as they were the day they were penned. And a couple of things I would really like to drive the point home is, one, all of this was done this whole evening that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, like Jesus said. From the beginning of time, everything that happened was coming together in the fullness of time, and this was it. It was at hand. And this event was to fulfill the Scriptures. As bad as it was, it fulfilled the Scriptures. The lesson that we can get from Jesus, not as I will, but as you will. If we lived our lives with that idea, how much better Christians could we be? How much more pleasing to God would we be if we did that one thing? Not as I will, but as you will. And as Jesus told Peter, James, and John, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. I hope this lesson, you've been able to apply it to your life. I've got great encouragement myself from this. So if nobody else did, I know one person got a lot out of this lesson, and it was me. Hopefully somebody else did too. As we go into this new week, hopefully these lessons will help you be a stronger Christian, more inspired to serve your God and to fulfill Scriptures in His service. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need to repent of sins, we see some great examples of repentance. If you need to repent of sins, don't just be sorry about what you had done. Do something about it. Change. Go on to be something greater. Not like Judas, just, oh, I'm sorry I did it, and I was an idiot, and he went and hung himself. He had so much to offer. If you'd like to identify with us as working and worshiping here with us, if you're a member of the Lord's Church and would like to identify with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need. I'd like to also invite everybody. We're having a potluck today. And if you did not know about it, feel free to stay. I'm sure we'll have more than enough. We always do. So whatever your need to the invitation, if you would come forward, let your needs be known. We'll address those. Let's stand and sing.